leader get through.
Now, Mr. Harbers, tell me about Albert Moore of Trinity County or Houston County? Or both?
Houston
or
County, both counties.
In that area. About his father and working for Albert Moore.
Four C Lumber Company owned land there. The railroad, of course, they run together, see?
Yeah, the TSC and the East Texas crossed.
Yeah, they crossed. They hit, see, 4C tied in with TSC and run about a mile and then left it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And but Albert Moore, the way he operated, he stole timber from both companies. He stole from 4C Lumber Company and he stole from Temple. Well, he'd steal from Temple and put it out on 4C's railroad track. He'd steal for 4C and put it out on Temple track.
You mean logs?
Logs.
Okay.
All right, and staves. He was a stave maker. And my father said he had a dog that he'd cut timber, and that old dog would hop up on the stump and sit there. If anybody come anywhere near, that dog would growl, and he'd throw down his tools, and he'd be just walking around through the woods. So they thought they
different,
had...
Different kind of watchdog.
But that man, they never did catch him or nothing. And the story goes on there, he crooked everybody he ever had any dealings with. But he had a whole bunch of staves made, my father said. That, and Temple thought they had him caught. So the river, it rained like worse than it is now, and that river got all over the country. So he and my father, they take, that old man went and built a raft. Now, Temple had a man watching them staves. So they built a raft and hauled all those staves over across the river and put them over on Pine Island on that 4C railroad. And when the river went down, the man working for Temple, he went back and reported they washed away. But that's the way they got those staves out of there.
He was an operator.
That's right. He'd steal from one of them and put it out on their railroad track. And it goes on till, I think he stole 17 carloads of logs from Temple. Some way or another there. But it tells about it in one of these books. I think it's that in there.
Maybe. I remember reading it, and Mrs. Lockhart's told me about it. Do you know today where the East Texas and the TSE met?
Yeah, at
Neff.
At Neff. That's where they run together there.
Well, you have to take me out there sometime.
Well,
I'd
love to go. I'll go back and show you where I take my first steps.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love it. That's part of my job is to preserve all this history. So we'll go. just tell me when you're ready, and we'll do it.
When it gets dry enough, the roads.
Okay. I'm gonna be out of town most of next week. I don't know if you've heard, but we're building a. I'll go ahead and stop the tape. Now we're talking about the bear that his son killed in '64.
And Lawrence, I had a 30 carbine, and the Lawrence boy asked me if he could finish off the bear, so I let him. So actually, that's his involvement in killing this bear. Other than that, he didn't have no involvement because he just visiting the son. He come from Die Ball out there with me. They was riding around with me.
Now, finish him off. I mean, were you already on the bear when that happened, or are you still pretty good ways off?
We was off 50 feet from 50 him. Feet. He's still crawling trying
still
to get to him.
Oh, okay. But your son shot him with a 30-30.
Yeah, he broke him down, shot his backbone in two.
First shot,
yeah. But I saw that thing, and I told them boys, I said, what a hog. He's coming across his flat, and when he got in front of us, I said, hog, hell, I said, that's a bear. And I couldn't believe it. But now, some people said, oh, it's a pet bear or something, but he wasn't. Where that bear come from, we'll never know, because his hair was just as full of cuckaburras as it could be. Well, he's not into farming in Eastern Lake or anywhere in that vicinity. So, but he'd come through some country where there's cuckaburras. Because his hair was just all full of cuckaburras.
I got a picture here. When you mentioned that to me the other day, we haven't come across that one, but we've got a lot of photographs, most of the photographs that Paul Durham and the Bushes took for the newspaper. And that's one there. This is just a Xerox copy. You can't see it all that good, but on the back of it, it says, 4 Vider hunters kill bear. It's dated November 26, 66, Pineland. Does that look familiar to you, or have you ever seen that picture?
No, sir, I've never seen that picture.
Mr. Harbor had mentioned to me that Mr. Temple had the bear stuffed and mounted, and he's got a picture of it taken in front of the old commissary, and then it was put out at a Boggy Slough, is that right, at the clubhouse?
Right.
And then it burned up when the clubhouse burned.
Yes.
Talking about Dred Devereaux?
Dred Devereaux.
Okay.
You could hear him for 100 yards before you got to it. He's cursed them men and all of that, and I don't guess there wasn't nothing them men wouldn't do for him. But you'd think he's just going to kill them. So one time he fired a boy. He fired him. He didn't show up to catch that work train. Dred pulled in that evening, he was on the old commissary there on the porch, and Dred asked him, said, "Why didn't you work today?" He said, "Mr. Dred, you fired me yesterday." He says, "Hell, that was yesterday."
I heard stories like that.
That's just the way he was. But you could hear, I'd be riding through the woods, and I could hear, I didn't know when Dred and I were working on them bridges up there in that Cochino Creek bottom in that country. He's the one that rebuilt them, and that crew, you could hear him, he just cursed every breath, and you'd think he was just going to really run every one of them men off, and it wasn't nothing he wouldn't have done for them, I don't guess. But now, when he built something, he built it.
I heard he used railroad steel and everything that he built.
Well, when that old debarker burned there at Dieball, you might remember back years ago it burned back, that's before your time, in the 50s. And Dred.
I wasn't born until 67.
Yeah.
And didn't come here until 81, so.
So Dred was retired.
Okay.
And Arthur Temple begged him to go back and rebuild that debarker. And he rebuilt it. He went and done it for him, but Arthur didn't want nobody else to build that thing except Dred Devereaux. Well, is Jack back at Dieball now?
Jack Sweeney?
Jack Devereaux.
Oh, yeah, he's there.
Him
and Moselle. Show you a picture of him.
He left here and went to Arizona.
Yeah. Well, that was a long time ago. Now we're talking about the Antlers Hotel. I asked him if he knew the Mr. Kamek that started that hotel. He was a game. He was from East Texas, I understand, and then he went to Kansas, maybe, and was the state game warden in Kansas. And then he came back to East Texas, and the company got him to either build or to start working there at that Antlers Hotel. And supposedly he decorated the interior of that place with game heads that he had collected over the years.
Well, his name was. Wonder how you spell that name.
Kamack is how I've seen it.
Kamack. Yeah.
Kamack.
I met that man at Boggy Slough Clubhouse at South Boggy. See, I found a set of horns in that Boggy Slough there. Had 19 points.
19
that something
points.
Had killed. Found him by the buzzards.
Hmm.
Was eating on him, and I got that head, and it was put in that old Antlers Hotel. I don't know.
Hmm.
It was an odd set of horns, had a bunch of points down next to his head, and then they come up, had a all them beams that big around on that old buck's head.
So you probably met Mr. Kamek then,
yeah.
Huh?
But that was in...
40s?
About 38, I imagine.
30, okay. I think the Antlers opened in 39.
May have been 39. I guess it was 39. Well, I started working there in 37 for Old Man Kenley, and I worked until 42. And I don't remember that period of time. Just
right, exactly. Yeah,
yeah, right, exactly what I did.
A long time ago, wasn't it? Right.
Had to be something special if I still remember. But
Well, what do you remember about the hotel? Did you eat there much, or when you came into town?
I don't think
or?
I ever eat there. I think me and Mr. Kenley eat there one time.
Mr. Kenley pick up the bill?
Yeah. Yes, he picked up the bill.
He did.
did he
leave a tip?
he didn't leave no tip. But I always got a bang out of him. He was... women run him crazy, I guess. He and I'd be going down the street up here in Lufkin, and we'd meet a good-looking woman. That old man would run over light poles and everything else. Looking back, he couldn't stand. I don't know what all of us amazed him about seeing women, but
I guess he spent all that time out in the woods, huh?
Yeah.
Well, when you were pasture riding, did you? You mentioned y'all lived at Easton Lake. Did y'all come into town much? Town, I guess. I mean, Lufkin or Dieball or. Go to
once a week.
I got more pictures here when we were out there at that Easton Lake Club. Do you ever remember about where Alcida was? Was there ever any? You showed me this little car here that you dug up. There any signs of where buildings were or anything like that?
Well,
where Alcida?
The old school was right there. You know where the. Do you see where the shooting range is, what they call the shooting
range?
No,
sir.
You go in after you get up there with the crossroads and turn back towards your clubhouses.
Okay.
There's a hole in the ground there now where they got a bunch of dirt. But right there on that hill is where the white schoolhouse sat.
Hmm.
And on the other direction, if you had gone there, when you got to the crossroads, instead of going right, if you'd have turned left,
mm-hmm.
That's where Alcida was at. The old shop was right there just off the side of that hill. A dozer dug up, they ain't no telling how much junk iron's right there on the ground, right there on the side of that hill.
So the company's pretty much...
Yeah. See, they had a water tower.
Leveled all that area out there?
Oh, yeah. I could go and find anything before they done that clear cut, and then they done clear cut, and then all of that, and now it's completely ruined as far as...
Trying to find stuff where things were?
Yeah.
Hmm. When did they clear cut that in there?
Let's see. In 75, didn't it? Did John Ralph Ford clear that?
Yeah,
he cleared all of that. That first clear cut they made in the East Lake was from the house to the highway.
The whole way in there. So that was like from the railroad tracks to the highway, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you, I wonder sometimes.
We'll have to go out there someday.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, finish what you were...
These, as many times as I was almost killed at boom with that stuff, boom with this game business, my sister and I was, she was taking me back to work over at Raydale one evening. And during hunting season, they had a kid that they'd left sitting on the side of the road. Of course, the road then was just an old wagon road. And he was sitting up on a hump. And this boy was sitting there with he had a 30-40 Krag. I won't ever forget it.
Hmm.
You don't see many of them guns.
Is that a German gun? Or?
Well, it was a gun that come out back in the 30s.
Okay.
But... That kid was sitting there with that gun across his lap, and he let it go off, and that thing come through the window. We were driving on an old 37 Model 4, and that bullet went in at one window and out the other, and like to jerk my head off when it went by. And that's how close it come to killing both of us.
Mm.
And I don't know, it scared that kid nearly to death, and it didn't have time for me to get scared, but we stopped. And we got stopped. That kid run down there. The grass burrs all over that place. He's sitting up there barefooted with his just his socks on. He had 1,000 grass burrs in his foot, feet, and he didn't even know it.
When did y'all get married?
In 58.
58. And again, what was your name and your maiden name?
Marie Thompson.
Marie Thompson. And kin to Clyde Thompson?
No. My dad's name is Claude.
Claude.
Lived east of
Dalhall.
Old man Clyde was quite a character.
Clyde Thompson?
Mm-hmm.
Did he come out in the woods much?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they finally turned that logging department over to him, you know. He come to die bald as the insurance man.
I heard that he also ran the old Air Dome Theater, movie theater, in the 20s. Well, became his insurance man.
Yeah. And then, did you ever hear of Shirley Daniels?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Him and Arthur was big friends. Shirley had that theater there.
The Timberland?
Yeah, Timberland Theater.
And a lot of a big photo collection we have are ones that Shirley Daniels took. Started in the late 40s up through the 50s. We got about 4,000 of his photographs and the negatives. And it's a tremendous collection of, you know, history, a lot of dyeball histories in there.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, in the early 50s, they were doing some burning and stuff out at Rayville. I remember one of the pictures, or several of the pictures we have, is when they were doing those controlled burns in the early 50s out at Rayville, and they were planting longleaf in 51, I think. Had they cut that long leaf that was planted in 51?
Well,
or?
I don't know. You know, they had a big fire in there in 51 or 52, burned 3,600 acres of bogus leaf.
Mm.
All that south end. That one of them Smith boys, he rode in there on a horse and set that afire, taking him all night. And you know, they finally caught up with him, and Arthur Temple didn't do nothing to him for that.
Hmm.
But I'll tell you, that was the worst fire. I went in there to that fire. I wasn't working for him then, but that fire jumped them graded roads they had in there just like...
Said it on purpose or
oh,
accident?
Yeah, he said it on purpose. He said it all night. Horseback.
Was he mad at the company?
Oh, yeah.
What was the reason?
Mad at the company.
He lived in that area?
Yeah. He's one of them Smiths that lives up there. They still, a bunch of them lives up there on Kachina Creek.
Mm-hmm.
That old Smith place is still there. But that boy, his name was E.C. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He burned 3,600 acres of it. Started in right there just below Rayville, and they went almost to Kachina Creek up through that country. And mm-hmm. It destroyed that timber. They had to cut every bit of it. I noticed I was in there last year, and they pretty well growed another good growth of timber in there.
Hmm. Now the Boggy Slough clubhouse, was that set by somebody, or did they ever find out?
They never did find out what happened with that Boggy Slough clubhouse. As far as I know, they had no idea who.
Yeah, that's what Milford had told me. They didn't really know for sure. But he could tell me about Mr. Cutler. What was he telling me? Something about there was a reason why the radio wasn't working. And anyways, he found, he was down to the clubhouse, saw the clubhouse was on fire, his radio wasn't working, so he had to drive back to where he lived and call it in to dieball. And by that time, it was too late. And anyways, he said Arthur Temple was out there, you know, one of the first ones to get there. And as Milford put it, he started asking all the questions. You know, where were you when it happened? Why didn't you call it in sooner? And, anyways, to make a long story short, basically, you know, he and Arthur kind of went round and round about his radio and why it wasn't working and all that. And of course, he had told Arthur that he had taken it in to Kenneth Nelson and told him it wasn't working. And apparently, Kenneth didn't fix it promptly. And Arthur was so mad, he told somebody to rip Kenneth Nelson's radio out of his car put it in Mr. Cutler's Jeep or whatever vehicle he had, and put Mr. Cutler's broken radio in the Clyde Thompson or Kenneth Nelson's car, and he told Kenneth, he said, "Now maybe you'll fix it."
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, but Milford couldn't remember a whole lot about it.
Well, I don't know just how much this son of Cutler's, like say he owns this Cutler Electric here in Lexington.
Mr. Coleman, Sam Coleman, you may know him, black man that works for Mr. Temple. He drives for Mr. Temple now. He was telling me to, I was asking him about it because he brought, Mr. Temple had sent us some pictures of Boggy Slough. And, Mr. Coleman brings his, Mr. Temple gives stuff to him to bring down to the archive. So we were talking about Boggy Slough. Of course, Sam Coleman said he worked out in North Boggy for a number of years.
Yeah.
And I was asking him about when the, you know, some details about the South Boggy and when it burned and all that. He said to call that crazy man, forget his last name, changed his name to Crazy Man. You may know him,
right?
He's a roofer.
Temple. I've known him all his life. I mean, Crazy Man Grumbles.
Grumbles, yeah.
Yeah, Crazy
and
Man.
And I heard that he went to the pen for setting house on fire or something.
Yeah, here.
I didn't know if that was a good idea to call him and ask him about Boggy Slough being burned down.
Yeah.
So I haven't talked to him. I don't know.
But now the other one of those Cutler girls, I know she's married to this English boy here, this Weld English Drilling Company.
Hmm.
That's him and Milford Ruby, her brother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
She's the oldest girl. She's a registered nurse. I don't know whether she might know anything, but she was probably gone from home, no doubt. She might remember the date or something.
Yeah. But see, that's what I was just trying to get a date, and then we can look up in the newspapers and, you know, find out more about it. But, we'll get it down.
Yeah,
sooner or later.
It was in the 70s, that's all.
I haven't really made an effort to find out, but just occasionally I've asked quite a few people, and I can't really remember.
I just know it's somewhere, I'd say, in the first of the 70s, between 70 and 75, somewhere in that vicinity.
I hate to bother Mr. Temple with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, he...
yeah, he... Well, save some bigger questions for him. Been asking him details about when the clubhouse burned.
Well, you know, I remember when that was all just Ball Open Prairie there where that lake's at now, going in there to his clubhouse.
Hmm.
They built that lake. That was called Bluff Prairie back years ago. Bluff Prairie. There wasn't nothing on it, but a lot of good grass on it before they built that lake. They shoot, they didn't have to dam up a place wide as near to the road out there to make that lake.
Hmm.
One little drainage come out there, and that was it.
When did they pull the steel rails off of the trestle there at Eason Lake?
In 70, I believe that's about 75 when they come through there.
Pulled the rails up off of the railroad trestle there?
Yeah. It's when they put that pipeline through.
Whose pipeline is that?
That's Columbia Gulf.
Columbia Gulf. Are they running anything through it now?
Yeah, they still.
They still is running.
Yeah.
From these pictures, that trestle doesn't look too sturdy. Well, too sturdy.
They ain't going. I don't know. I was one caused them. See, there's an 8-inch pipe going inside that 12-inch pipe.
Oh, okay.
And I was one caused them to do that. I told them, I said, fellas, you don't know this bunch of heathens that runs this railroad track. I said, I mean the river.
The river, yeah.
I said, they'll shoot that thing and bust it. So that fellow that was over that pipeline, he said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll just put that 8-inch pipe, they welded it all together and run it through that 12-inch pipe.
Hmm.
So that's how come it, but there's just an 8-inch pipe going through there. See, they drilled 17 water wells in Eason Lake. And
17 water wells?
That water's supposed to be...
They were drilling for water, though. Yeah. Weren't drilling for oil.
That is the future Diboll water supply. They hit artesian water all over that place.
All in the Eastern Lake Club?
All in the East. They have 17 wells, I believe, what they drilled. Mm. Practically every one of them are flowing wells.
What'd they do with it?
They sitting there. They still
they
letting,
just cap them? Or?
Oh, they letting two of them flow. It's flowing a stream bigger than my arm. They've been flowing since back in the 60s. And why they don't cap it? There's a man come in there and wanted me to go with him from this water quality board from Austin. And he was all upset about them things running. And he said he was going to see if there wasn't something they could do about it. But that's the last I ever heard of it.
Hmm.
And I don't know, this fella Doug Fitzgerald was over that until he retired. He's been in bad shape. He's got cancer. And a fellow named Ken Christopher is their geologist now. I don't know if you've ever met him or not.
No, sir.
But he's in that main office down there. He's their head geologist. And Dub Fitzgerald was a geologist, and he has tried to get Christopher to plug in things, and he hadn't done it. So that's the same water supply that comes from off the Temple Well over there, so to say. That same underground water. Well, I know one thing. We had artesian wells in clubhouses there at Eastern Lake, and it finally hit run. We had to put a deep well pump on it. Just had a shallow well with the well flowing all the time, and it quit flowing, and our pump quit working, so the water level dropped so much there that that pump now got a deep well pump on it, and it just had a shallow well.
It's good water.
It's good.
What do you think the camp there at Al Cedar, do you think they had drank from artesian from those wells? Or
I
do you
don't
think
know
they got river water? Or?
They had some wells dug there. There's a bunch of old wells that was still open there.
Kind of in the area of the camp?
Yeah, there in that camp area. See, nigger quarters, that's a white section there on the front. Nigger section was on further down, had a nigger school in there.
On further down the railroad towards Diboll?
No, on that other road that turned back to the left there when you get to the crossroads. They had houses on both sides of that road.
Okay.
On up further there, they had the commissary and the drugstore and all of that was on.
I got a map here. Let me get that map. Maybe you can show me a little better. Talking about Titus Mooney pulling 40 log cars from Fastrell back into Diboll and couldn't make the grade at Connor Creek.
Connor Creek. He couldn't pull that hill with them. So he'd come to Walkerton, leave that 20, and go back and get that other 20.
So there was a siding there at Walkerton?
A siding.
Uh-huh.
So he'd go and get that 20 and bring them on up there. And then back them in there and connect them together.
So there was a siding on the other side, too, then, I guess.
Well, no. He parked them out on the main railroad track. And then he'd back in there and connect onto that 20 he had on the side track and pull them out. And then back in there and connect them together and head for Diboll with them. And he could make it from there on to Diboll with that 40 car.
Yeah.
But he couldn't make it over Conner Creek Hill with 40 cars at a time.
I've heard stories of some of those early logging railroads that put cars in front of the train and cars in the back of the engine, the locomotive, because they couldn't make some of the hills. When they'd come to the big hills, they'd let go of the back ones, push the front ones over, let them sit, go back and get the other ones, and then hook back up again.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, he'd just disconnect them.
Just disconnect them.
Disconnect them. And, I know one time, talking about, on the subject of Titus Mooney, I was there at Rayville. And old man Kenley had a big old steer. He was, I imagine, 5 or 6 years old. He'd weighed 1,200 pounds or better. He was laying up in the middle of that railroad track. and Titus run over him. He run up on him and he picked that engine up. And that was before daylight. And I was there in that Rayville house. And he had to wait there until a section crew got there. They had to jack that engine up and pull that steer a piece at a time out of that engine.
Yeah,
so that...
That'd been number 13, maybe?
Old 13. Yeah. That was in the late 30s, I guess.
Late 30s.
Yeah, about